Hello, welcome. I am Nutan Vaidya, Senior Associate Dean for Academic Learning Environment. And with me today is Dr. Leslie Sun, who is not only Assistant Dean for Faculty Development in Academic Learning Environment, but he's also an emergency room physician who has been a physician administrator over 27 years. So today we are going to be talking about difficult people and how to deal with them. Before we go on how to deal with them, Dr. Sun, first is, how do you know when somebody is difficult? How do we identify them?
So sometimes you can just obviously see someone that's being difficult by the way they act towards you, or they verbalize towards you, or they might make things difficult for you. But then you have the ones that are a little bit more covert, that may do things behind your back, say things, emails, social media, that is something that might upset you or be contrary to what you're trying to do in your department. Those are a little more difficult to pick up because they're not as upfront.
Now, over these years, I'm sure you have developed some techniques or methods to deal with these individuals. Can we hear a little bit about those?
I would be happy to share my insights with you. So I think that when you have a difficult colleague, difficult person, whoever we're dealing with, the first thing you have to do is take a step back and try to understand what's going on. Why are they responding to you that way? Why are you responding that way to them? And the first step in that understanding is asking them, why do you seem angry? Why do you seem upset? What seems to be going on today? And again, based on the circumstance and situation, that person might say, yeah, I'm having a bad day at home, or I don't like what you're doing, or I don't like something that's going on in my environment. So sometimes the most important thing is to understand what's going on, because some of those things you can actually manage and resolve, and some things you can't, and some that you can't, you may need to refer that person for other assistance.
So this may be a naive question, but why are some people difficult? You know, what makes them difficult? What are the factors?
So I look at that really in three or four different categories. So the first is, you and I having a bad day. Mm-hmm. We're stressed out about something, and rather than dealing with our stress, we may lash out to someone we work with, someone we deal with, someone we teach. So that's the first category, and we can talk about things that stress people out and how they deal with their stress in a normal person. Like, for instance, I work in the emergency department, and just coming to the emergency department for many, many people is a stressful event. Mm-hmm. Event. It's chaotic, it's disruptive, it's loud, they don't understand the process, so it's stressful for them. So that's the first category. And then the second category, I would say, are people that are having a medical or physical illness. They're in pain, they don't feel well, they're sick. And in those cases, we need to address their physical illness. And are they hypoglycemic? Are they post-ictal? Are they having a gastro? Are they febrile? So there we need to figure out how to handle their medical issues. The third is what I would call the psychiatric patients. So both the overtly chronic mentally ill, as well as the personality disorder patient, can be very problematic. But again, the same approach would be asking them what they need, what the issues are, why are you acting that way towards me, kind of thing, even in that case. So that's the three pretty much broad categories, and the approach is not a lot different between the three, at least initially.
But I'm sure you have somewhat different approach in terms of who you're dealing with. For example, if it is a patient, then the approach may be a little bit different. If it's a student, you would take a different approach. If it's a colleague, there would be a different approach. Or if it's an administrator. Because, you know, one of the things is, as a psychiatrist, I always felt that we were very well trained to take care of what we call major psychiatric disorders. So those patients, most of psychiatrists don't find them to be as difficult because we know how to deal with them. Personality disorders, on the other hand, are not overtly psychotic, but are much harder to manage. And I always said that there are more outside psychiatrist's office than there are in psychiatrist's office in terms of personality disorders. So I'm sure you are dealing with a lot of personality disorders. We don't diagnose them, but we do deal with them in our day-to-day work environment. So what's your strategies?
Well, so let's... It sounds like there's two questions in there. So
sorry.
So first, let's talk about the approach to a difficult person, whatever that is. And I agree and disagree. So I disagree in that the approach to a difficult medical student, physician, colleague, administrator is always going to be understand what's going on with you. Why is it hitting your hot button? What's upsetting you? Where is this in your process for today? And the second part is trying to understand what's going on with them. So whether it's a patient, administrator, colleague, medical student, what's going, you know, reflecting on their behavior, it appears like you're angry today, it appears like you're upset, what's going on, can you tell me, you know, how to help you with this? And so to get a better understanding of what's going on, because again, is it really directed at you, or is it directed at someone else or a process or an impairment they have? So the first step is to try to understand what's going on. Then after that, yes, you're absolutely right. How I deal with a patient, how I deal with a medical student, colleague, administrator is different. And each of them I would approach in a different fashion. I have a different process that I use to resolve whatever issue or conflict there is. Personality disorders, however, are much more, and I agree with you, they are much more difficult to deal with. They tend to use significant healthcare resources. They don't tend to be very receptive to instructions, understanding of what's going on with them, nor being able to explain it to me as a care provider. And I'm sure that they frustrate not only psychiatrists, but other healthcare workers. And in that case, I take a different approach with personality disorders. I try my best to address their issues. And at that point in time, I try to set limits and sometimes I need to get other people involved to assist. Sometimes I hit my limit with my level of frustration and I need somebody else to intercede. And I would say, at least in the emergency department, a lot of times a integrative approach with social work and nurse manager and nurses, because everybody seems to have a difficult time, especially with the borderline patients. Mm-hmm.
So I just want to clarify that some of the patients' personality disorders that you're talking about, in terms of setting limits and being disruptive, is the cluster that we psychiatrists call cluster B, which are overly dramatic personality disorders. The same approach doesn't apply to cluster A, which are more schizoid or schizotypal, or cluster C, which are more avoidant and dependent personalities.
I'm a lumper, not a splitter, but I understand.
So, now, what do you do when you have to deal with a colleague?
So, when I deal with a colleague, usually I will take the approach to reflect. It seems like you're angry at me, you're upset at me. Let's go to a private space and talk about it. And sometimes just talking it through, was it a misunderstanding? Each party has to come to the table with an open mind, the ability to negotiate a reasonable settlement and to come out with it. Hopefully the conflict has been resolved. Now, sometimes with a colleague, you're unable to resolve your conflict with them, and you need to then get a higher up, the chair, section chief, whatever involved in the conflict if you're unable to resolve it yourself. And sometimes you need to, depending on the level of conflict and problem, it may need to go through either a hospital disciplinary committee or a department disciplinary committee or disciplinary process. And then always in the back of my mind, when someone is, I have a conflict with someone and it seems inappropriate, you know, I make mistakes, I say the wrong things sometimes, but when it seems like their behavior is off and not consistent with what occurred, I'm always thinking, is there a problem at home or are they impaired? That's the two things I always ask, and I'm very upfront with it. Because if I can't make sense out of how they're treating me, then I think it's not me, it's something else going on in their environment. And I always approach it that way. Now, some of that is being a chair where I have that obligation to ensure that my staff are properly vetted and screened and, mm-hmm. and not demonstrating impairment or significant other problems. And it doesn't even have to be impairment. It could be a physical problem. It could be stressors that they're not dealing with at home. But anything that impairs with their ability to give good patient care needs to be addressed.
Now, let me ask you this, because as you know, that we have a national emergency vis-a-vis physician burnout and stress. Have you noticed over the years that the encounters are becoming more and more difficult? And if so, most of our listeners are physicians. What would you suggest?
Well, I think when we talk about physician burnout, we really need to address the underlying issues. And for some, again, they need to go back and say, what is it that's giving me this level of stress? And what can I do about it? So is it patient volume that I'm being meant to see lots of patients? Is it the environment that I'm in? Is it the patient type? Is it the processes that, you know, I deal with a million phone calls and insurance calls and this and that? Is it the paperwork? So I think the first issue is to say, what is it that is preventing me provide the kind of care that I want to do, the lifestyle I want to have? So that's the first question. Then the second question is, well, what can I do about it? So for some, it would be finding a different work environment, changing the work environment, dealing with their stress in a better way. And I think the real bottom line is you got to take care of yourself sometimes. You got to make sure that your needs are being met. And the old time thought pattern of, you know, the physicians are committed to their job and they can't have a life outside of work, is that's way gone.
But have you finding that there are more difficult encounters? Are people being not being difficult, but experiencing other people as being more difficult?
I think that the rate of burnout is increasing in the physician population, and I think part of that is the way that our system is pushing patient throughput, mm-hmm. EMRs that are difficult to use on the physician. And so, yeah, I'm seeing an increase in that incidence.
Are you seeing more violence in work environment or even in, how do you deal with that?
Oh, that's a great question. I think part of the violence in the workplace is kind of twofold. I think one is the push to identify it and not to tolerate it. You know, in years past, I think we just said, oh, that's just part of the job. They're verbally aggressive, they're nasty, or they're, you know, they're threatening, those kind of things. And I think today the culture not only has started to change, but has to change. We have to be intolerant of of the culture of violence. It has to be reported, it has to be investigated, it cannot be tolerated as part of the job.
Now, I don't think we have a whole lot of time to talk about it, but how about students?
So, you know, I think that as far as students, we need to deal with them a little differently. I think that my role as an educator is to educate them, and if there's some reason I can't educate them, then I need to talk to the appropriate supervisor. So, and what I'd say is really it should go up the chain of command. If there's a problem with a student, the first thing to do is to talk to the clerkship director or to the chair of the department or to one of the deans at the
school. But would you suggest directly, without talking to the students, you would want them to be referred?
Same approach, which would be to talk to that student first to get an understanding of what's going on. And if it doesn't seem to make sense or inappropriate or unprofessional, then you need to take it up the chain of command. I think, and it again depends on the level of problem we're dealing with. A student being late to a shift, I would ask the student why they're late. You know, my car broke down. Okay, fine. And as long as it's not a pattern, it's not an issue. They don't show up for a shift and they don't call to say, I'm sick, I have a problem, whatever. That would then be elevated to the clerkship director or one of the deans, because that's an expectation that is made up front when they start their clerkship, is they're supposed to be there for their shifts. Now, and they should communicate, and there's a process and a policy for students that don't make it to a shift or are sick or have an emergency, and they need to follow that process. So it really depends on what the issue is.
But you would still follow the same thing, is that understand what's going on with their life, understand why you're responding to the student in certain way. That if often what happens, well, the reason I'm bringing it up, I know you're smiling, that whenever we've talked about student-teacher interactions or student-preceptors interactions, the physicians, teachers have often a mindset that I did it this way, so they should be doing it too. And unfortunately, in today's world, that kind of mindset creates more difficulties than it solves, because the time you and I were trained or our listeners were trained is different than the time the students are being trained.
Yes, the teaching environment for medicine has changed significantly. It is not, I'm the teacher, you the student, you need to listen what I have to say and not question me. Today it's different. Today it's we're more on a more collegial level. They learn differently than how we've learned, or they want to be taught differently than we were taught. They communicate differently, meaning that they tend to use a lot of social media and they use email communications and those kind of things. So I think that you're absolutely right. The expectations that we had for teacher-pupil interaction is not the same today, and we need to understand that it's a different teaching environment, and we need to be sensitive to the way that they like to learn. And that leads to some of our other discussions about how to teach, how to evaluate today, and how that's different than in yesteryear.
Well, I think we've covered a lot of broad topics in a very short period, and obviously it's not a topic that can be covered in 20 minutes or so. So I would definitely want you to come and talk more about maybe specific individuals in much more detail. But thank you for your time.
Thank you. For further podcasts and other faculty development coursework, including those that do grant CME credit, please go to our website, the CMS webpage, and go to ALE, and then there's a box to click on Faculty Development.